Merry Christmas, and God's grace and peace and mercy are yours from Him who is born on Christmas. I shared this story a while ago in a church newsletter, but I'd like to share it again with you this morning. There was a wealthy man who years ago shared a passion for collecting art with his son. They had priceless works of art by Picasso and Van Gogh and other masters hanging throughout their family estate. One year, war engulfed the nation, and the son left to serve his country, and not long after, his father received the telegram. His son had been killed, and distraught and lonely because he was a widower as well, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas with anguish and sadness. On Christmas morning, there was a knock on the door. When the man opened the door, there stood a soldier holding a package. And the soldier said to him, "Your son and I fought together, and I was his friend, and I have something I would like to give you." The soldier told the man that that his son had spoken of the passion that he and his father shared for art. And as an amateur artist himself, the soldier decided to honor his friend. And when the old man opened the package that he was given, he found a portrait of his son. And overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, and after he left, he hung the portrait directly over his fireplace, where before there were paintings hung worth millions of dollars. The following spring, the brokenhearted man died, and the art world waited with anticipation for the day when his paintings, all the paintings they had collected over the years, would be auctioned off. The man's will directed that the auction wouldn't be held until the first Christmas day after his death. When that day finally arrived, art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. The auctioneer pointed to the first painting up for auction, the painting of the man's son, which had been painted by his son's comrade in arms. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room remained silent. After a long pause, the auctioneer asked, "Who will open the bidding? Open the bidding with $10? There was a very long silence until finally someone in the crowd said, "No one wants that painting. It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on." But the auctioneer told them, "No, according to the will, this painting must be sold first. Now who will take the son?" And finally, a neighbor and friend of the old man bid the $10, saying, "I knew the boy. I'd like to have it, so I'll start the bidding." The auctioneer asked if there were any other bids, and after waiting a few moments said, "Going once, going twice, sold." After the gavel fell, the auctioneer looked out at the crowd and announced that the auction was now complete. And everyone was stunned. One person shouted, "What do you mean it's over? There are millions of dollars of worth of art here." And the auctioneer replied, "Well, according to the Father's will, whoever takes the Son gets it all." Now, I don't know if that story is true or not, but the truth that it conveys certainly is, whoever takes the Son gets it all. Joseph knew that very well. In Matthew chapter 1, we read that Mary conceived Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Now, at first, Joseph refused to believe it, and who could blame him? He and Mary were just regular people in a typical town, and things like this just don't happen to normal people. But because he cared for Mary and didn't want to cause her any more disgrace, he was upset, but he decided to end the engagement quietly. But God sent an angel who spoke to Joseph in a dream, and when Joseph woke, his anxiety was gone. He believed the unbelievable, and Joseph took the son. Joseph chose to trust God and to love Mary. The two would now live together. They'd share a home. They'd raise their child. Now, Joseph knew that that was going to raise more than a few eyebrows in Nazareth. Busybodies would assume the worst. Either Joseph and Mary had conceived the child during their engagement, or Mary had been unfaithful. Either way, what a scandal. And the whisper campaign was a certainty. Nazareth was a rather small town. Probably no more than about 2,000 people lived there. So that gossip certainly would travel quickly. Joseph's character would certainly be undermined, and he and Mary would be the talk and the scandal of the town for who knows how long. But in spite of that, Joseph takes the son. Matthew writes that the angel told Joseph, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, Jesus is the English equivalent of the Hebrew name Yeshua or Joshua, which means the Lord Yahweh saves. The child's name would be Jesus, because that was exactly what this son would do. Whoever takes the son gets it all. All sin is forgiven, lock, stock, and barrel. You know, I think all too often we forget how much we need that forgiveness. As we walk through life, we stubbornly take the forbidden fruit, just like our first parents did in paradise. We do those things that God tells us not to do. We take advantage of others if it benefits us. We seek ways to hurt those who have hurt us, and even hurt those whom we say we love. We look at our possessions, all gracious gifts from the hand of a giving God, and we declare, "These are mine. I earned these." Easily forgetting that unless God had given us a mind, a body, and the ability to use them, we would have nothing. We participate in sin oblivious to how it breaks God's heart. It's all too easy to forget how much we need forgiveness, how much we need the Son. One day an elderly couple was at home, and the husband said to his wife, "I'd like a dish of vanilla ice cream." I could see this happening in my mom and dad's house. The wife said, "Oh, I'd be happy to get that for you." Knowing how forgetful she could be, the husband asked, "Maybe you should write that down." To which she replied, "Don't be silly. I can remember a dish of vanilla ice cream." He said, "Yeah, but I want chocolate fudge on it." "Got it." "And whipped cream and a cherry." "Don't worry." And with that, she went into the kitchen. And after a while, the husband thought he'd better go check on her. He walked into the kitchen, and there on the table was bacon and eggs. And he asked, "Where's the toast?" It's easy to forget. It's certainly easy for us to forget. And you know what? God forgets too. God forgets. For the sake of his son, God chooses to forget our sin, forgiving it all. Whoever takes the son gets it all. Because of Jesus, all of our sin is forgiven and forgotten. And we walk off with a completely clean slate. But that's not all. Matthew continues, "All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." You see, the son is not only Jesus, not only the Lord saves, but the Son is Emmanuel, God with us. And Emmanuel is what Matthew's gospel is all about. God with us appears here in the very beginning of Matthew's gospel. And then in the middle, in Matthew 18, Jesus says, "Where two or three gather in my name, there am I in their midst." God with us. And then in the last verse of Matthew, Jesus tells us, "I am with you always, to the very end of the age." We are never alone. God is with us through thick and thin. In a song titled "From a Distance," that's kind of an old one now, but in that song, Bette Midler sings these words. He says, "God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance." That's not true, at least It's not completely true. Yeah, God is watching us. Can't keep his eyes off of us. But not from a distance. Our God, the true God, the Almighty God, became Emmanuel. And God is with us. He's with us up close and personal. In fact, Emmanuel is so close that he is in us, that he is behind us, that he is going on before us. There is no place, including any tomorrow we face, where God is not. Your Emmanuel, your Jesus, is God up close and personal, entering your muck and mire, your chaos and confusion, is there in any dark day this side of heaven. And we see what it took to make that happen on the day of deepest darkness. On that Friday that we call good, all of mankind, including you and me, grabbed hold of Emmanuel and nailed him to a cross and said, "Leave us alone. Quit interfering with my life." You see, that's exactly what we say when we do what we know we shouldn't do, when we don't do what we know we should. Our sin demands that we be allowed to do whatever we want to do. Just leave us alone. And ultimately, that's what sin accomplishes. In our sin, we would be left alone by God forever. But God refuses to leave us alone. On this side of that Good Friday, Emmanuel lives. There was a cradle, and there was a cross. But in conquering death, Emmanuel now wears the crown. And that's why you have this sure and certain promise. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. In Emmanuel's name, you get his powerful and loving presence as he says to you, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Joseph takes the Son, and of course, so does Mary. Peter did, and so did Matthew. James and John take the Son. Even the one who tried to crush those who had taken the Son, Saul, who becomes Paul, takes the Son. And countless others since then have done so too. And this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are invited to take the Son, whether it be for the first time, or the 50th time, or the 500th time. Take the Son, because whoever takes the Son really does get it all. You get every last bit of God's mercy, his grace, and his love. And these are all packaged and delivered in those two beautiful names, Jesus and Emmanuel. And they're God's Christmas gifts, gifts for you today. And they're God's gifts for you not just today, but for forever. Amen. Please rise.